been a pretty good mood. Pretty good mood. Pretty good space. You know, it don't happen all of the time. It's usually something in the way or something that I feel that I, you know, that's imperative to handle. You know, I've been actually waiting or looking for something to go wrong. And just for a change, it's been good. I haven't put myself in any, in harm's way, you know, trying to save the world, as I've been told. Creatively, things have been going very well for, you know, myself, my wife. A few of our kids have, are beginning to, you know, open up about the things that they want to do. And that's a good thing. No. Great thing. But I'm going to speak on that a little bit. For the parents out there who listen, you know, this is something that you can relate to. My son started playing football a couple of weeks ago, I'm sorry. And he ended it. He ended it tonight. But I never felt more proud. I never felt more in a father-son relationship with my youngest child than right now. Every other time I've looked at him as being beyond his years. And, you know, these past couple of days, I really see him as someone who's, who really watches me and watches his mother. And you don't really see those moments these days with children. You know, they're too busy involved in trying to be older than they are because of, you know, the social media influence. And that's a, you know, good and bad thing, because beauty can come from that, but it can also deter them from the real world, I'm sorry. But, and seeing my son, his last football practice wasn't that good. I was just happy he was out there giving it his all, but he kept watching me, you know, when practice was over with, he was basically telling me he didn't want to let me down. And I told him, you don't have to worry about that because you can never let me down. And at that moment, I realized he still watches me. And in certain moments with our children, we sort of see them as being the sponges that children can be, instead of being the bricks that most preteens and teenagers are these days. That you can't get anything through to them, what I mean by that. It's those small moments where you catch your kids actually steal your kids. And at those moments, they look to you. You know, they need that guidance. They need a hug. And they need that reassurance that you may feel you failed, but I will never look at you as that. You know, to those out there who listen, and, you know, I have children. It's quite all right to let go, let them grow. But it's also perfect to just grab them, hold them, let them know. You're still my son. You're still my daughter. I won't let you go, regardless of what you do or how you feel, you know, whether you mess up or not, you know. So certain parents do. And, you know, me and my wife, we know parents who let their children fall and just look at them, you know, literally and figuratively. But, you know, myself and my wife, we've always been there to, you know, pick them up. Not baby them, but, you know, always there to pick them up. Not let them figure things out on their own, so to speak. Because at a certain age, that child still meets his or her parents, or parent, however. You know, we must always realize that we're their first teachers. Women, you know, your sons, is you're the first woman. Me and your daughters, you're the first man that are gonna want to emulate you and their mates in certain ways. It's just a comfort thing I've come to notice with, you know, with myself being a father. And, you know, it's just at those moments where you feel that you still matter. And you're not just an ATM machine. Or, you know, a food pantry. As most parents feel that they are. They only see their kids when we're eating. Or, mom, dad, I need this or that. You know, sometimes when you should grab your kids, you know, regardless of our own thing, just to have a conversation with them. You know, those little things matter. You know, myself and my wife, we talked to our oldest, who's on the cusp of 16. And the world is right there. And, you know, I asked him, what did he want to do, you know, when once high school opens up? And he surprised me. I'm sorry, us. He surprised us with his answer. And I was, he wanted to swim. He said, Daddy, I want to be different. And there's nothing wrong with you being different. There's nothing wrong with you wanting to show who you are. Because typical football, basketball, you're going to look the same unless there's something just special about you. But, you know, for kids like him, people like me, we're only expected to do certain things. And with him saying, Dad, I want to be different, I took it as, Dad, I want to be special. He called me crazy, you know, called me a parent or, you know, but or that parent, I should say, but I take it as him saying, I want to stand out and I want to be special. I'm not afraid to be who I am. I've been in kind of a down mood the past few days. What's today, Wednesday? Yeah, I've been in a down mood these past few days. I've been wanting to record. I had so much to record. I mean, so much recorded, I should say. But it all stopped, you know, once I heard DMX being in the hospital, drug overdose, in a coma, having to be resuscitated 3 times, severe brain trauma, vegetative state. And it shook me, you know, because I remember being a child trying to find my way in the world, but always having to struggle and fight bullies, not having this and that, you know. I needed someone who related, who knew what I was going through. I needed someone who could show me how to overcome it. I didn't have positive male figures in my life. I only had Pop. Pop had passed a couple of years before that. So I didn't have anybody. I was lost. I was being bullied. I had friends who were in different gangs, and I didn't know what you could or couldn't say. Good night, Jack. I didn't know what you could or couldn't say around this and that, and I was struggling with talking because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know who I was going to piss off. Having guns pulled on me, being shot at. Having machetes pulled on me. That's some scary shit when you 14, and, you know, you coming home from playing basketball and a group of kids run up on you wielding a machete. It's very scary. I remember that night very vividly too. But I'm here telling a story, so God looked out for me. But, you know, I remember being younger, and you know, on the radio, they used to have these listening parties because it was a lot easier to just get an album and play it, you know. And so I didn't have a recorder. I just had a, you know, a little FM radio. That's all I had. A little FM radio. And, well, I can't say that's all I had. I thought it was very minimal, you know. And they played "As Dark and Hell Is High," and I listened all the way through. I wish I could record it because from the get-go, just hearing those drums and listening to the stories and listening to Slippin' and listening to "Stop Being Greedy," "Get At Me, Dog," and "Damien," but listening to this man tell these stories of his life and not being afraid of who he is, not trying to be hard, just being himself, talking about struggle and overcoming this. And basically, I was taken into that world, and the defense mechanism was the growl. I myself, I love dogs still to this day. The defense mechanism was the growl. And those of you guys who follow me on Instagram know I can't post video without doing it. And it goes back to that, not really trying to be, you know, tough or hard or whatever, but it's just focus. It's just focus. That's all it is. Remember, I got a DM to tell a side story. I got a DM a while back. I think Dior just came out. This girl was sending me a DM. She said, "Oh, I love your videos. This is nice trying to be Pop Smoke." And I'm like, I don't even know what that is, but all right, thank you. Appreciate it. But then I had to look up Pop Smoke, and I was like, no, that's not really a crowd. That's more of a, you know, let me try to beat something. But rest in peace, Pop Smoke. I love his music. But that ain't what I was trying to be. I was trying to pay, you know, so dog that, you know, he still got dog, so to speak. And when I say show dog, he still got dog, seeing everyone across the world play his music, play tribute, and really put in prayer that hopefully this man pulls through. And I myself, I don't want to hear X rap again. Not because I'm not a fan of his music, or not because I wasn't looking forward to his album, because I am. But pull through for your family, pull through for your children, pull through. Live your life, be a preacher, become a preacher, as he wanted to do. But as he felt that his struggle was the devil was keeping him in hell, but he wanted to get to heaven. And it's not just the man, it's what you want to do and where you see yourself. And you just keep running into wall after wall after wall. And you cheer for this person. It's like, just finally get over this wall. And after his last stint in rehab, and I seen him, and we all seen the verses with Snoop, and he was happy. He was dancing, he was moving, and it was beautiful to see that this man overcome something to give someone else hope who was struggling, give someone else hope who was going through something, that you have this to look at, this light to see, that whatever this man went through in life, you can yourself become whatever it is your heart has there for you to be. There's no way that you're going to stay in the devil's grasp forever. And you know, I don't like speaking of God, the devil, churches, this and that. But Because I know how ugly that could be. You misquote one word and somebody's at your throat like you disrespected their grandmother. But back to X. I just felt like doing it. Going back to his prayers at the beginning of I'm ready to meet him, and I don't want to recite it, but please go listen. Listen to Angel. Listen to the just listen to his music and tell me you don't feel. Tell me you're not taking yourself there. I listened to Phyllis Hyman earlier today, and those of you who don't know who Phyllis Hyman is, listen to Living All Alone. You can hear the woman's pain and passion, just like DMX. Certain artists, really, if you close your eyes, you're right there. Sometimes you feel like you're holding their hand, just guiding them through whatever they're going through, because you can feel them coming to your room while you're listening to their music. And after you listen to certain songs, certain artists just make you feel like, you know what? I'm going to get through this. DMX was a person, is that person. I just went out with my best friend and my brother a couple of days ago. And, you know, my friend looked at me, you should listen to DMX. I'm like, man, yeah, of course. Why wouldn't I? And he played DMX all the way back home. And the next week, what DMX is going through right now. You know. So just, you know, just say a prayer, not only for him, not only for him, say a prayer for anyone else who's going through a struggle, who's struggling with whatever. Whatever you want to say about him, drug addict, whatever, that's your opinion. But if you just, pray for someone who's trying, you know, because we're all trying, we're all fighting. So I'm going to end that right there and just, if God wants some home, God wants some home. We can't be selfish. Just understand that whatever you're struggling with, just know that if you look at someone like, you know, his story and others, there's plenty of others out there. There's ways you could defeat it, but just know that that demon never really goes away. Because when you're down, you go back to that demon. Because you're feeling bad. You want to feel good. When you're up, you go to that demon because you're happy and you want to let that demon know that, oh, I'm good now. Oh, I can beat you. But no, no, you can't. You can't. Regardless of what we face within life. I'm not trying to knock anybody who's addicted to anything, because if you've listened to this podcast, you've heard me speak to and about the drug addicts that I come in contact with on a daily basis. I'm gonna switch modes. And, I'm gonna talk about Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, the quarterback for the Houston Texans, who is now facing, I want to say, 20 some odd charges of 20 some odd charges, sexual assault, and it's not looking good. But what I'll say is, where's the truth? Where's the truth? Because so many athletes, entertainers, regular people have been accused of something. But they typically target the athletes. And a lot of these were massage therapists who claimed he, you know, said touch him here, touch his privates, this and that. And, but the backlash he's facing, Nike dropped him, Beats dropped him, so many other endorsements he had dropped him. But nothing is proven true. But what do you do as a, I want to say he's 23 or 24, but what do you do as a 23, 24-year-old man when you just don't see anywhere to turn? You know, I hope he has a solid system around him, personal system, parents and stuff like that, or just solid people who can shield him from all of this, because it's ugly. And I remember, you know, being a Bears fan, wanting him to draft Deshaun Watson because he had just won a national title, and really hoping that they would say Deshaun Watson's name, but they said Mitchell Trubisky. And 4 years later, Mitchell Trubisky is backing up the Texans, backing up the Bills, and Deshaun Watson wants to be traded. It all looked like it was going to link up, you know, for Deshaun Watson to be traded to Chicago, but that's not what I'm talking about. That's the fan in me. The man in me really doesn't like this. I don't like this on his side, nor the woman's side, because it just looks bad for both. The woman is always going to be seen as a gold digger, hoe. You just out for money. What if she is telling the truth? Deshaun Watson is going to be seen like a typical male chauvinistic. I can own, you know, I can buy you and all of this stuff. I can do what I want to do. I just hate this story. I don't like it at all. It's so many women that it doesn't look like it's going to end well for Deshaun. But, you know, I pray he can get his life back together, and, you know, I hope it doesn't get any worse. You know, but speaking of worse, I saw Paul Pierce post an Instagram live video. He was smoking. He had strippers around him and stuff like that. Paul Pierce retired a while ago. You know, if you don't know who Paul Pierce is, he played for the Boston Celtics. He played for the Brooklyn Nets. He played for the LA Clippers. Won a title back in 2009 or 2010, I believe. I want to say he's Hall of Fame caliber. Very jealous of LeBron James. But when I said athlete, weed, strippers, that's typical stuff, right? Am I right or am I wrong? That's typical stuff for an athlete to do. You don't see many athletes out there Instagram living themselves with strippers in the house or smoking weed, because that's something that they do. You know, that's just, all right, that's normal stuff. I never saw Paul Pierce's ladies man, so to speak. You know, I never seen him like that. So for somebody like that, who had a pretty good job at ESPN post-retirement, will post something like that as to say, aha, look at me, look at me. I'm like, you're a retired millionaire. You're a basketball player, NBA legend. You're supposed to have regular nights like that. Your regular nights are supposed to be like mine. You're not supposed to be sitting up watching wrestling on YouTube, you know, your regular off nights. Your regular nights are supposed to be spent with somebody with your hangers on and smoking weed and doing this, or if not smoking weed, having a bunch of women or people around you trying to feed your ego. That's a normal night for you, Paul. But you chose to broadcast it. Wonder why you lost your job, and now he has all of these, you know, all of these adult sites and adult companies trying to pay him money for appearances and stuff like that. He just looked like somebody that just couldn't get none on his own. And now that he got You know, he came with some money. He got a little bit of status. So now he feels these women want you. They don't want you for your looks. That's not how I see it. But I mean, he just seemed like a squirt to me, for real. You know, he seemed like a squirt. But hey, that's him. I seem to be breezing through this episode because I'm not, you know, walking down the street or anything. If anything I want you to take from this, I want you to take, as I said before in previous episodes, just be in the moment. Be in the moment. Just try to stretch those moments out where you're sitting with your wife, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, and you're just enjoying their company. Try to stretch those moments. If you're sitting around your kids laughing, just try to enjoy just listening to them laugh or talk or grow. Listen to their stories. Answer their questions. See where their mind is going. Just enjoy those moments. You know, if you're lucky enough to still have your parents, you know, reach out. I know. I ain't talking to my father in years, but I don't want to. That's, you know, I talk to my mom. just go out and enjoy whatever form of life you can enjoy. Whatever makes you happy. Just go out there and be for the moment, because you never know when it can be taken from you. Just try to give life. Hopefully that made sense. Hopefully, I know you can hear me better because I'm behind my microphone, you know. Just give life. There's only one way I can end this episode.